When I grew up, I wasn't allowed to go out. I missed my prom because I went to an AAU tournament. For me, it was basketball, basketball, basketball.
Keep tugging at our heels. Watch us high step and be a highlight reel of how high we get. The ghost riders off the ramp, how we live defies death. Put a conscience in the genre box, stamp a certified fresh. Bad boys beyond.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. Hello, guys. I am Mark Roberts, and you can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And today I'm joined by Kyle McEwen, who you can find on Twitter at RotoWire Kyle MBA. You can also see his face on 120sports.com. If you listen to us on iTunes and can please rate and review the podcast, that would be very much appreciated. For anyone who does so, Kyle will take you to prom and let you choose who will wear the tux and who will wear the dress. So please, if you have a moment, rate and review the podcast on iTunes. And if you could also subscribe, that would be swell as well. All right. Kyle, did you go to when the time was right?
I did go to prom. I went stag, though, and I...
Did you wear a tux?
I wore a tuxedo t-shirt.
That seems about right.
The thing is, like, I went to the winter dance. I went to the two previous winter dances, and the first time, anyways, it was bad. Just horrible dates. Nothing worked out well. I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna show up to the prom stag, and that way I won't be disappointed by anybody. So, or probably more appropriately, I won't disappoint anybody.
Excellent. All right. Today, Kyle, we're going to talk about some important stuff. We're going to go over some injuries. We're going to do our normal. And we also have a podcast league trade to talk about. Do you want to start off with that, or do you want to save that for the end?
Let's save that, because I kind of want to gather my thoughts.
Okay. All right. Let's get right into it tonight then. In Wednesday night's game,
you can scream this if you want. It's pretty amazing.
Why don't you scream? I feel like you'd be better at it than me.
Kyrie Irving scored 55 points. Could you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kyrie scored 55 points.
Had a little hint of Dave Chappelle to it. Just a little bit.
I have a soulful nature.
Yeah, 55 points on – he made 11 three-pointers. He also pulled down 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. And I actually watched this game, and the announcer continued to remind us that Kyrie Irving was, in fact, a bad man.
So that's good.
Good game by him. Obviously, was aided by LeBron James being out. That's part of the reason he took 36 shots. But also – just had it going. It was a fun night. He hit basically the game-winning three for him. I don't know if there's a lot to take away from this.
But, it's just that people need to be reminded from time to time how good Kyrie is. So, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep. Kyle, a little bit on the concerning side for the Cavs. In the same game, Kevin Love scored 10 points, 3 of 15 shooting. He made 2 of 8 three-pointers from the three-point line. He had 12 rebounds and 2 assists in 39 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, 3 of 15, so he took enough shots for us to care. Right. It's just he just wasn't making them. And, I think Love just is less on this team. We kind of knew that coming into the season. I'm not surprised by it. I'm not shocked by it. So,
isn't it kind of remarkable, though, that he started in the All-Star game last season in the deep Western Conference, and now he's not even being mentioned as an All-Star in the Eastern Conference?
It's all about who's pushing what narrative and all that kind of stuff, you know? Like, we know why Kyle Lowry got put in. It's because he got the Canadian vote, and that's fine. He deserves to be in there, or right. Somebody from Toronto deserves to be in the game. And with DeMar DeRozan...
So are you saying that... Love deserves, you think Love deserves to be in the game?
No, he deserved it last year because of how incredible his stats were. You know, he's one of the top scorers in the league, the best rebounder in the league. How many highlight reel passes were we seeing from him from night to night last season with them doing the whole run and gun stuff? You know, when Rick Adelman was still there and they were just doing those three-quarter court fast break passes to Corey Brewer and whatnot. Like, there was a big story there. Now, Kevin Love's in the shadow of LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and in some ways, lately, J.R. Smith even.
Yeah.
So, it all makes sense.
And as I mentioned, LeBron James set out tonight, or in Wednesday night's game, and it looks like he is doubtful to take the court Friday. A wrist injury after suffering a fall in Tuesday's game.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and the more and more we get closer to the head-to-head playoffs, we're going to be talking about the fact that LeBron James and the Cavaliers for Yahoo Leagues, they've only got 9 games during the 3 weeks of the standard fantasy playoffs if your league manager didn't change it or your commissioner didn't change anything. So we're looking at LeBron James anyways and saying, if you're playing in a head-to-head league on Yahoo and you use the standard fantasy playoffs, you got to be looking to potentially trade him if you can trade up to get a guy like James Harden or Steph Curry. You got to consider doing that right now.
Yeah, and in the ESPN playoffs, in the standard playoffs, let's see. Oh, shoot, I had it earlier. They only have 15 games, which is, you know, less than the 18 games that some teams play. So another... It's 14 games. So even some teams play 18 games. Yeah, they play 14. So I was actually looking at the rankings today for Kevin Love. He projects as the 36th best player for the rest of the season in our rest of season rankings, but he's ranked 64th during the playoffs. So another guy, even though you'll probably feel like you're selling low on, I think it's probably good if you're in a head-to-head league to make a move just because you're going to get even less production from him in the playoffs.
Pete, you know, but if somebody likes Kevin Love, they can talk themselves into making a bigger trade because they like him. And they can reason something along the lines of like, you know, he probably just needed a few months to get comfortable playing with the rest of the guys. Yeah, he's about to turn it around. You wait. You watch after the All-Star break. That's what I'd be saying to myself.
Yeah, definitely. And if you could target somebody, I don't know, LaMarcus Aldridge, for example, and maybe the owner is worried about his injury.
Great, great idea.
Yeah, because Aldridge, interestingly enough, Aldridge now has 18 games in the ESPN fantasy playoffs because the game earlier this week was rescheduled due to the blizzard.
Ooh, so that's pretty nifty. And Aldridge against the Cavaliers on Wednesday, Aldridge put up 38. In opposition to the 55 that Kyrie put up on the same court on the same night, Aldridge put up 38. Doesn't seem to be too hampered by this thumb injury. And really, I think we should all be trying to take advantage of LaMarcus Aldridge right now and trading for him because it's his non-shooting hand. It's his left hand. Mm-hmm. Like, he should be able to play. He should be able to play with this the rest of the season. And if these are the stats he's going to be putting up, 38 points, 11 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 three-pointers. You got 2 three-pointers out of LaMarcus Aldridge on Wednesday. Played 41 minutes. Yeah, I'll be trading for him. I hope somebody wants to sell low on him.
Agreed. Dwight Howard did not play Wednesday night due to an ankle injury that he suffered earlier in the week. We don't know how long he'll be out, but in his absence, Terrence Jones finally returned to action. He played 21 minutes. He had 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 blocks.
I'm surprised by the 21 minutes. And the production, gosh darn if that's not enticing.
What surprised you about the minutes? You thought they would be more, I guess?
No.
Or less, I mean,
in his first game back, it's... And his return kind of came out of the blue. You know, we started hearing about it just a couple days ago, and then they're like, yeah, he's good. All right, we'll get him in. It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, we never really heard what went wrong with his leg. It was potentially some nerve damage, I guess, but just feels like they just called it a leg injury for the majority of the time.
Yeah, that is kind of bizarre. But, yeah, it was definitely nerve damage in his knee, and it took a long time to heal. So interesting, though. You know, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a 3-pointer. If you knew for certain that he was going to average two blocks, a three-pointer, 10 and 5, I mean, he might be worth owning in 12-team leagues if he was getting just that every night.
Yeah. So what type of leagues are you recommending people pick him up in?
I still don't really see, you know, it's fun to see that he's back and he's playing because Terrence Jones was, well, at times frustrating to own last season. Overall, he was very good, especially in turnover leagues because the guy never turns the ball over. Mm-hmm. So if you're playing in a 9-category rotisserie league, I think you consider picking up Terrence Jones. You take a flyer on him if you're playing in a 12-team or deeper league. And I think 12 teams, it might be hard for you to find somebody worth dropping for Terrence Jones because it's a tough situation. Josh Smith is still there. Donatas Matagiounis is there. He's starting. Houston's been good all season with Donatas Matagiounis starting. I think the only way Terrence Jones actually gets into the starting lineup is if they decide to play Terrence Jones there with Matagiounis if Howard has to miss time down the stretch. However, Dwight Howard's only dealing with an ankle injury right now. It's just a sprained ankle. And from everything I've heard, I mean, he was going to play tonight, but he had tweaked it in yesterday's practice. So It's... I would maybe be worried about Dwight Howard for the fantasy playoffs, though, because the fact that he keeps talking about how he's constantly dealing with knee soreness and stuff, as it gets further down the season, you might have to be concerned about that looking forward to the fantasy playoffs, because we know that Dwight Howard's value only really rests in head-to-head leagues for the most part, and that might make him somewhat hard to own. However, if you could get him at a discount, I'd still roll the dice on him.
Good advice there.
Sorry, that was a patchwork quilt of different ideas there. Sorry about all that.
No, it was excellent. Thanks for sharing. Nicholas Batum returned to action Wednesday night. He played 39 minutes. He only put up 7 points, but he grabbed 4 rebounds, dished out 7 assists, had 2 steals and a block. Kind of what we've been expecting all season. I mean, Batum, or not expecting, but what we've been getting from Batum all season. So if you have him, I guess deploy him as usual.
Yeah. We'll see. I love the 39 minutes, and I just hope that the news we get about his wrist tomorrow is that it's okay. There's no soreness in it because we're still waiting for Batum to really get over that hump. And we all kind of crossed our fingers that when he had that 28-point game last week that might have been it, but then he suffered the injury in the next game. So Well, still in wait and see mode with him. I still might buy low on the guy.
It's got to be hard for him to sit out games now that Aldridge is playing with basically a torn ligament in his wrist.
You got a bunch of warriors on this team, man. Damian Lillard never misses games. Wesley Matthews doesn't miss games. Nick Batum doesn't want to miss games. LaMarcus playing with torn ligaments in his non-shooting hand. Yeah, man. These guys are balling out right now. It's awesome.
Yeah, they're a fun team. Robin needs to suit up now. He's got a wrist injury, but
he's close. Well, you meet Robin Lopez with his broken hand? Yeah. Yeah. He'll be back.
Speaking of guys who returned, Kevin Martin returned to action on Wednesday night. He played 29 minutes in his return. He put up 21 points on 7-18 shooting. He made 2 3-pointers, had 4 rebounds and 1 assist.
Pick him up.
Yeah, pick him up, definitely. Does this level of playing time surprise you in his return to action?
It does, but whatever. I was a little bit surprised just because there were so many, like, he might be back for this game. No, he's not.
Yeah.
He might. Now we got to take fluid out of his wrist. No, he might be back. There's just so much back and forth with Kevin Martin actually getting over the hump and into the lineup. And then the fact that he was coming off the bench, I was just kind of looking at the situation and not thinking that he would be used too heavily. But, you know, they got guys out with injuries. Mo Williams is out. Shabazz Muhammad's still out. So I guess it kind of makes a little bit of sense that they deployed him with pretty much a usual amount of minutes.
So what type of playing time do you expect him to get when they at least return to relative health in Minnesota?
Oh, the only worry, I think Kevin Martin's going to get plenty of minutes. The only worry I have for him is that when he gets traded, what kind of situation does he get traded to? Because as long as Kevin Martin's on the Timberwolves, he's going to score. And he's going to get plenty of points because he's not going to defer to anybody. That's not his game. Once he gets the ball in his hands, he's shooting.
That's a good point. All right. Dwayne Wade is dealing with a hamstring injury, and he's expected to miss an extended period of time, according to the South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Wow. That sucks. Yeah,
that does suck. Sorry, Dwayne Wade owners.
Yep. But who do we pick up then?
I mean, the answer we've given all year has been Chalmers. We know that his splits are, even if he doesn't get a different level of playing time, he gets a different opportunity when Wade is out to handle the ball and to create his points and assists go up. So I think he's the only type of a guy that would be on your waiver wire that you could pick up in this sort of a situation.
Hmm. And Chalmers had 21 points in Tuesday's game, 15 on Sunday.
You got anybody else on that roster you have your eye on?
They started Shabazz Napier last time Wade was out for the last couple games that Wade was out. So I'd keep a really close eye on him. I kind of want to stop the podcast now and go pick up Shabazz Napier. There's some leagues I'm going to think about adding Shabazz Napier in. I know that. And if the only reason I'm not saying rush out and grab Mario Chalmers is because the guy's stayed owned in most leagues that I play all season. And I did see more recently that Chalmers had been dropped, so I will go check that after the show. But I'm going to also take a good look at what Napier did in those couple of starts to kind of see what I might do after we get off the show. I apologize that I didn't look this up before. I was offline most of the day.
I'm just looking at Napier's game log right here. He had a stretch where he played about 22 to 27 minutes per game, but he didn't really score in any of those games. He averaged 1 point.
All right. In his two starts, he averaged... He 11 points... 5.5 assists, 4 rebounds, half a block, 1.5 steals, 1 3-pointer. Poor shooting in those two games, but he was playing 36 minutes a game.
Yeah. So there you go.
I don't know. I look at Napier and I don't think he's going to be shy. Whenever I see him on the court, he's still aggressive, which is not something you see from a lot of rookie guards. They play tepid. They don't want to make mistakes. He's out there just playing and dribbling and looking awesome. So there's something about him that I definitely have enjoyed watching this season, and I would root for him because I would want to have him on my fantasy team.
They're also on the brink of the playoffs. If Wade misses an extended period of time, they could – I mean, it's hard to do a little bit in the East, but they could potentially be pushed out of playoff contention or at least serious playoff contention. And I think if that happens, then you would – even seem more likely that they would turn it over to Napier at that point.
Which would be great.
Yeah. Jakar Sampson got the start on Wednesday night against the Pistons. He played 24 minutes. He scored 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting, including 2 3-pointers. He had 8 rebounds and 2 steals. We have no word whether this is a permanent change or whether they're just make an adjustment here, but is Jakar Sampson somebody you would target in the standard leagues at this point?
No, I'm good.
What about deep leagues?
I don't see the opportunity sticking for him. Mm. He's the next tallest Thompson. I don't see it. I'm sorry. I don't see it. He's a 6'9" shooting guard. Who, whenever I've watched him this season, he loses his dribble all the time. They've been trying to run him as a backup point guard because they, at times, they've had no other option. I'm not buying it. Sorry. Do you know something I don't know?
No.
Okay.
No, and I'm not picking him up either. But I mean, I guess like if you were in a deeper league, if he's going to get the minutes, looks like he can at least put up a half decent line. You know, he got 13 points and 8 rebounds, but. We don't even know if this is going to be a permanent change.
Philadelphia beat the Pistons 89-69 on Wednesday. DJ Augustine, who had 2 back-to-back good games, ended up putting up 2 points on 0-for-7 shooting from the field, 0-for-4 from 3-point, 2-of-2 from the free throw line, one rebound, four assists, two steals in 34 minutes. A lot of other Pistons players suck too, like real bad. Greg Monroe scored 20 points, but other than that, the other four Pistons starters scored just 12 points together total. That's abysmal.
They this is not the first time they've lost to the 76ers this season either.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
So,
way to stab me in the ear.
That's not the diss that it used to be, though, when they lost to them the first time. Sixers have looked kind of half decent since the season started.
And they've had a pretty good defense all year. So,
yeah.
Just keep an eye on Spencer Dinwiddie, man. I'm telling you, it's fine. DJ Augustine's obviously a good pickup right now, but if the Pistons aren't going to win, they're not going to waste time with DJ Augustine as a starter. I'm telling you, man.
So when you say I need to keep an eye on him, are you talking about in standard leagues or are you just specifically in deep leagues?
I wouldn't talk about him with so much vehemence if I was talking like only deep leagues. Mm-hmm. No, Spencer Dinwiddie, unless they go out and trade for Reggie Jackson or something like that, I don't see there's going to come a time where Spencer Dinwiddie's more valuable than DJ Augustine this year.
You heard it here first, folks. Alan Anderson got the start on Wednesday night. He scored 15 points on 5 of 10 shooting. He made 2 3-pointers. He had 6 assists, 2 rebounds, and a steal in 36 minutes. And the corresponding move for the Nets was that they moved Bojan Bogdanovic to the bench. Is Alan Anderson somebody that you're interested in, Kyle?
No, he's mostly he's mostly been on a teams for his defense more than anything. And then just being a solid, he's pretty much a 3-and-D guy. Now he had a good game on Wednesday, 15 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 3-pointers. Loved watching the guy at Michigan State. Saw him walk into Best Buy once. He was with one of my buddies from high school. I gave my buddy a hug. Alan Anderson just smiled like, who's this dude giving you a hug? So yeah. I don't really have anything else to say about Alan Anderson other than my Best Buy story.
Pick him up. No, I'm... yeah, he's been getting... He's been coming off the bench, but he's been getting 24 to 25 minutes a game, and he hasn't done a whole lot with it this season. In the last 20 games, he's averaged 25 minutes. He's only put up 6.5 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 1.3 assists in that time. So even if you extrapolate that out to 30 minutes a game, it's not something that you want to own in a standard league.
Yeah, if you used Alan Anderson, you know, if you saw he got put into the starting lineup and you're like, all right, I'm going to roll the dice here for daily games, and then you capitalized on it for tonight, awesome. Well done on Wednesday night. But going forward, Alan Anderson starting or not, I don't see his production being consistent mm-hmm. or good. Plus, the team's been talking about trading Joe Johnson. They've been talking about trading all these guys. He might just get tossed into a deal. I don't know. Don't bother. Just don't bother.
Kevin Durant was dealing with a toe injury on Wednesday night, and he sat out against the Knicks. There's no word on how long he's expected to be out, but this is the second game he's missed. So keep an eye on that. If you've got Kevin Durant, before you put him in your lineup, make sure he's in his lineup.
I guess he was noticeably limping before the game.
I saw that.
So that doesn't bode well for the next game. Although limps can go away pretty quick.
Good point. Also from that game, Carmelo Anthony did play. He started and he put up 31 points on 12 of 28 shooting, and he also grabbed 10 rebounds. Go ahead.
Did you tell everybody that New York beat the Oklahoma City Thunder?
No, we haven't talked about that yet.
Did you mention the most important part of this game is that the Knicks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder? I don't care if Kevin Durant wasn't in the lineup.
Yeah, and I know Carmelo Anthony's not your favorite player, but certainly he had in helping them to win. And that's got to be frustrating a little bit as an Oklahoma City fan, because we already have word out that Anthony is not going or is not certain that he will play Thursday against the Pacers. And so it's, you know, Oklahoma City is in a position where they're fighting for their playoff life. And you got to think if Anthony didn't play in this game, if they would have rested in this game instead of next game, they definitely would have won. I would be a little frustrated at the Knicks for playing him, but
why did you actually try to beat us, New York Knicks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that argument.
Yeah, you rolled out Carmelo Anthony for one out of five games and you picked on us. But I mean, not that they have much of an argument, right? Sure. Oklahoma City should beat the Knicks with or without Anthony.
Yeah, except they have a terrible coach who doesn't know how to actually put an offensive player in starting lineup. So, you know,
they're getting
cool.
Dangerously close to getting into panic territory as far as the playoffs goes.
The thing is, when you go through their starting lineup, the Thunders, it's not a surprise that they lost the damn game. Ibaka, Jones, Adams, Westbrook, Roberson. Like, who's scoring other than Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, that's it.
Like, you don't have to
Serge
guard
Ibaka has
else.
Really shown his true colors this season, I think. He's had such an opportunity to set up and become a... You know, it was kind of sold to us as, like, he's sacrificing and he's the third or fourth option and he's just playing his role, but he could be so much more. And certainly doesn't seem to have been the case this season.
Nope. Then again, you know, there is the whole, like, you should appreciate people for who they are, not who you want them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Anthony Davis missed a portion of the fourth quarter tonight, but he returned from action. He missed some time with a groin injury, but he still was able to log 37 minutes. He scored 24 points on 8 of 15 shooting. He grabbed 12 rebounds and 2 blocks. So all things look positive there. There was some worry, and obviously we want to check and make sure that he's in the lineup before they play their next game. But as of now, it looks like pretty promising.
So Davis was going for an offensive rebound, I believe, and Kenneth Faried grabbed it. Davis ended up, like, flipping himself sideways as a result of his momentum carrying him kind of past Kenneth Faried, and Kenneth Faried being the manimal that he is and pulling down the rebound away from Anthony Davis. So then as Davis started to fall to the floor, he extended his left leg, and it looked like he had kind of twisted it a little bit, and people got scared. But when you watch it, it doesn't look nearly as bad as the way people were reacting on Twitter during the night. People were essentially acting like Anthony Davis was going to possibly miss the rest of the season with some kind of knee injury or some kind of crap. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, Lazarus had risen from the pit again. So anyways, he's fine. He should be okay going forward.
Nene Hilario missed Wednesday night's game against Phoenix with a sore right foot. And JJ Redick sat out on Wednesday night against the Jazz with back spasms.
Watch out for that sore right foot. Nene owners, plantar fasciitis, yo. He's been dealing with that for years, and it always takes him down for quite a few games every season.
Yep, agreed. And one other note from tonight, Rajon Rondo, in 34 minutes of action, had 0 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. Over his last 10 games, he's averaged just under 30 minutes per game. He's putting up 7.8 points, 5.4 rebounds, 6.1 assists, 1.6 steals. Well, Kyle, I had somebody today ask me if he should drop Rondo because he's frustrated with how Rondo's doing since he got traded to the Mavs. What do you think?
Go ahead. Like, if there's somebody better to pick up, pick him up. Mm-hmm. I don't think who Rondo is going to change going forward with the Mavs. Unless there's some kind of secret thing that, you know, I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
He is who he is with the Mavs right now. And I mean, 5 turnovers. I've seen a lot of big turnover games from Rondo too since he joined the Mavs. So yeah, in fact, 7.1 assists, 2.9 turnovers. That's, I don't know, man.
The offense is definitely different. Dallas runs a different offense than Boston does, and it is not as nearly as assist-friendly as Boston's offense was for Rondo. So from that perspective, the days of him averaging 11 assists, which is what I think we projected him in the season, are probably gone. And that was the main reason that you wanted to keep Rondo, and he was so valuable.
I mean, 7 assists a game is still useful.
It's still valuable.
Yeah.
It's just not elite.
If he's actually going to average 11-7 and then get you 5 rebounds and 1.5 steals and over half a three-pointer, and he's shooting pretty well from three-point land with Dallas, 42%, then
that's not going to continue, though.
No, of course not. I mean, he's a career 26% shooter from deep. But like, there's reason to own Rondo. It is pretty amazing how terrible... it's hard to... It's hard to bite the bullet when you see that he's averaging less than, like, he has nothing in double digits. Nothing.
Right. I think that he's one of those players, and he was before he was traded. He's one of those players that has a different level of value in head-to-head leagues than in rotisserie leagues. Mm-hmm. Like, he was borderline droppable in rotisserie leagues in Boston. So from that perspective, yeah, go ahead. I think in head-to-head leagues, you're right. If he's getting over 5 rebounds and around 7 assists and getting you pretty good steals production, he's going to have more value in those type of leagues. So it probably to some extent depends on what type of league you're in.
Who am I talking about? Here's a stat line. Over his last 5 games, he's averaged 7.4 points, 3.2 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1.6 steals, and 1.8 three-pointers, shooting just 37% from the field. 45% from the three-point line in 31 minutes a game.
Evan Turner?
Ooh, good guess.
Rajon Rondo?
Exactly. Mm. I thought these numbers were kind of Rondo-esque. It's Joe Ingles.
Ooh,
1.6 steals and 1.8 three-pointers? That's interesting when you add in the 5 assists. So, but I'm not saying to go out and add Joe Ingles. But
the
I'm
fact
saying
that it sounded like Evan Turner makes me like it less than I think I actually do.
Right.
He had a nice game tonight. He put up 10 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and 2 threes.
No. Yeah, there's been two of his last 3 games have been pretty good for Joe Ingles. And over his last 4 games, 7 assists, 5 assists, 5 assists, 7 assists. Like, he's doing it more and more.
He really is almost a de facto point guard now that Exum is running point guard.
Well, it's almost like you have 3 point guards out there because you got Hayward, Ingles, and Exum all passing the ball. And it just keeps the movement going. Speaking of the Utah Jazz, though, so this 20-10 Enes Kanter that we're seeing over the last 5 games, how do we explain this to people? Because I don't see it. I don't see 20-10 continuing.
Yeah, I mean, he's somewhat of, I guess I think of him, I don't have any data to back this up, I think of him as somewhat of a streaky player anyway. Like, he has good stretches and bad stretches. We know that he's, in some respects, he's fighting for his job and potentially his role on the team with Rudy Gobert breathing down his neck. So there's potentially a little bit extra motivation there. I don't think it's fake. Like, I think he could continue. I don't think he's going to be 21-11 for the rest of the season, but I think he could be, I don't know, 18-8 in the right situation.
I'm surprised by the scoring more than anything, the volume of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that 4 of his last 5 games, Enes Kanter scored 20 points or more, and he's taken 16 shots a game over his last 5 games.
My hunch is that he's just being more aggressive now that he knows been backed into a corner, you know, like, what does he have to lose? There's a very capable backup behind him. If he's going to go out there and be passive and not get a lot done, they're just going to put him on the bench. And so I just think there's some extra motivation there for him to stay on the court. And to his credit, he's responding.
All right. If Cantor's available in any of your 10 or 12 team leagues, please go pick him up. Like, don't question it. Just go do it, because you can't pass up a guy who's averaging 20 and 10. I don't care if he's not doing diddly squat elsewhere. I mean, especially in rotisserie leagues, he does help you with the 51% shooting from, or 50% shooting, and the great shooting from the free throw line as well. I mean, Cantor's been useful for the better part of the season in rotisserie leagues. Head-to-head leagues, it's been somewhat questionable because he's kind of fluctuated. He's been, I mean, on the season, he's averaging 14, 7.5 in 27 minutes a game. And that's what I'm afraid of, is him going back down to the 27 minutes a game, because Gobert only played 10 minutes on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And the other possibility of why he's getting minutes right now is
trade.
Maybe it's because he's playing so well, yeah, but maybe it's because they're trying to get him ready for a trade. So something to keep an eye on. All right, let's run through some old injuries, Kyle. Ricky Rubio with his ankle injury apparently could return next week to game action. I guess we'll believe it when we see it. JaVale McGee did return to game, was available to return to game action and was active on Wednesday night, but he got a DNP coach's decision. So not probably want to hold on to him in any of your leagues.
Back-to-back crappy games from Jameer Nelson. If you picked him up for any reason, go ahead and dump him. He sucks.
That kind of, doesn't that make you feel good about all the times that he had a good game and we kept saying, don't believe in it, don't believe in it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it feels good. I do want to go back to the Utah Jazz for 1 second, because there's stuff's in flux, you know?
Yeah.
Dante Exum had another really bad game, and if you go look at his first two games where he started, his stats were kind of unsustainable. He was hitting good, you know, way too many three-pointers on way too few of attempts. It just, everything was falling in the right place, and it just felt too easy. And now we're seeing back-to-back games of Exum really struggling. Now, does he suck right now? Is he too inexperienced to own, or was this just, hey, Dante Exum starting against Chris Paul for the first time, and Chris Paul, you know, taking him to school?
I don't know that he is going to be consistent enough to really rely on in standard leagues. I think that there will be those type of games that we saw two games ago, and there'll be these type of games. What is concerning to me, like tonight, he got swung the ball, and there was nobody within 8 feet of him, and he just passed it.
What an idiot.
And what that says to me is he's just not being aggressive. So I don't think it's a matter of him not being talented enough to do it, but I just don't know that he has the right mindset. I think it could be a situation where he got excited for those two games and started being aggressive, and now he's kind of gone back into his shell a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know.
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
Rest of season, Jordan Clarkson or Dante Exum?
I will take X out of those two.
Okay, well then we're going to decide on the terms of the bet after the show, but we are going to make an official bet about this.
Yeah, very good.
Because my boy Jordan Clarkson put up 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 3-pointer in 37 minutes on Tuesday night. And since I didn't do the podcast last night, I just want to make a point to talk about him. Since
you did send me a very excited Jordan Clarkson message, though.
All it said was Clarkson with an exclamation
six
point.
Exclamation points.
Yeah. Dude, talking about Exum's, Dante Exum's lack of aggressiveness, that annoys me so much. Like, and I love that you pointed out about Enes Kanter that maybe he just feels Gobert nipping at his heels, and that's why he's being more aggressive recently and whatnot. But no,
well, don't you kind of feel like that's going on with Trey Burke too? Like he almost led the league or the team in field goal attempts off the bench. And that's not the first time. He's just coming in and firing away.
Do you think maybe the coaches like told the Utah point guards at the start of the season, like, the pecking order for shots is blah, 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 blah. And then you get to shoot, like make sure to keep the ball moving, that kind of thing. Like, do you think the message is maybe getting misconstrued from Quinn Snyder to the point guards to the end degree where they're just not being as aggressive as they should be? They're not really playing the game. They're trying to force it too much.
When you say point guards, I think that's what's happened to Exum. Like, he's trying, when I go to the games and watch him, that's, he's just trying to run the offense. Like, that's his whole focus, is to, Quinn Snyder has a complicated offense that involves a lot of passing. I think they're leading the league in numbers this season. And so he gets the ball. That's kind of what I was saying. He got the ball, and his first reaction tonight, even though there was nobody around him, was just to pass it, because that's quote unquote what he's supposed to do. I think Trey Burke hasn't. So I think Exum has gone too far that way, as just like play with the pass as their slogan. That's what he does. I think Burke has gone not enough that way, which is why he's on the bench. But now that he's on the bench, he's almost just like in screw you mode, and he's just gonna shoot.
I kind of disagree. I think Burke was trying to pass. He had a lot of really good pass, you know, assist games earlier in the season. I think now that he's on the bench, he just understands, like, well, they put me here because nobody else was scoring, and they figure maybe he'll excel if we allow him to be that aggressive player that he was back on Michigan. And that's kind of what I think they're trying to do with Trey Burke, is to put him in a position to be successful.
And I agree with that. I don't think what you and I are saying is totally different.
Right. I
I think he was trying to. That's just not Trey Burke's game, though. I guess is kind of what I'm saying is he's more of a guy who's gonna, like you were saying, in college, he handled the ball a lot. He's gonna run more pick and roll when the Jazz want to move it around a lot. So maybe he was trying to adjust to that early, but now he's in the role where he's coming off the bench. I think he's gonna be looking to be more aggressive.
And he should be.
Yeah, it's almost like if we could mix the two together, I think we would have an actual fantasy point guard that we could use. All right, I'll look forward to that Exum bet, though. It'll be. I still have a little hope in that guy, at least more than Jordan Clarkson.
Not for this right. season.
Yeah, you might be right. I just can't take Clarkson in that bet. Jose Calderon returned to action. He played 27 minutes. He put up 4 whopping points on 2 of 3 shooting. He had 8 assists, though, and 2 steals. Travis Ware did not play for the Knicks tonight, or on Wednesday night, excuse me. Carl Landry did return Wednesday night for the Sacramento Kings. He had, in 23 minutes, he had 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 1 steal. For your daily George Hill update, George Hill set out Wednesday's practice with a groin injury. No word on whether he'll play tomorrow night or Thursday night for the Pacers against the Knicks. Nick Young missed practice on Wednesday with his ankle injury, and Coach Byron Scott said that he is questionable for Thursday's game, and said everything with Nick Young is questionable. So not exactly a ringing endorsement. That's where things are at. Paul Pierce took the floor on Tuesday night, or on Wednesday night, excuse me. He did not take the floor on Tuesday night, but he did on Wednesday night against Phoenix. We are in the fourth quarter of that game right now. And let's see. Paul Pierce has played 24 minutes. He's only 3-11 from the field. He has 9 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 assist.
Jordan Clarkson in the D-League this year has averaged 22.6 points, 5 rebounds, and 7.8 assists. 0.8 steals, 0.2 blocks, and just a few more stats. That's all.
This is his D-League stats?
Yeah.
Mm, excellent.
Yeah, I know you don't care, right?
I don't know what that means. Like, what?
It doesn't really mean anything. I just wanted you to. I'm just trying to put it into your head that Clarkson is going to be legit. Do you own him on any teams yet?
Clarkson? No, I don't.
Okay. You're going to regret that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of places where I could have picked him up, it would have meant dropping Exum, and I just emotionally wasn't prepared to do that yet, which is probably why you suckered me into that bet.
Well, I mean, come on. It really is a toss-up.
Yeah.
Like, Clarkson has had 1 good game out of the 3 games he started. He's one of the guys I'm putting my chips in on or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Kemba Walker underwent successful surgery Wednesday to his torn left knee meniscus. He's expected to miss a minimum of 6 weeks, it's going to be kind of crucial for fantasy owners, especially in head-to-head leagues, because we are approximately 6 weeks away from the fantasy playoffs. And we know that he has one of the most favorable fantasy playoff schedules. So if he returns in that 6 weeks, he could be a huge help. If he doesn't, it's a risky proposition to hold on to him. Cole Aldridge left Wednesday night's game against the Thunder. He left after scoring no points, grabbing one rebound, one assist in 7 minutes. No word on whether he'll be available for the Knicks' next game. And your rec league buddy Lance Thomas had a season-high 17 points Wednesday night in the upset victory over the Thunder.
He wanted to get vengeance on his old team, man.
Indeed.
That's what you get for making me an NBA player. I don't know why doesn't he change sounds your, like a pirate.
Well, he could. That doesn't change your opinion on Lance Thomas at this point, though, does it?
No, he sucks. He's a...
I watched very little of that game. Oh, go ahead.
Nope, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I liked very little of that game, but at the last possession, basically the last the Thunder had a chance to win. On defense, they doubled Carmelo Anthony about 40 feet from the basket with Lance Thomas's guy. And Lance Thomas, like, waving his arms under the basket. And they didn't get him the ball. So might have been part of the reason why he had 17 points is the Thunder were more than willing to leave him wide open.
Isn't that hilarious? Hey, coach, who do you want us to leave open? Come on now. That idiot that was on our team like 2 months ago. You know, the one that didn't deserve to be in the NBA? Yeah, go get him.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, leave him alone.
All right, anything else you want to cover tonight, Kyle, before we get to the DraftKings minute?
No, we still got to do that trade thing.
Yeah.
We're doing that after DraftKings?
Yeah, let's do that after DraftKings.
Okay.
We'll keep people in suspense. There are four games on Thursday night, and as I look through the DraftKings plays, Kyle, I noticed four point guards that were kind of my top four guys. And obviously you can play potentially, I guess, three of these, but really as you're thinking about slotting in your point guard, I wanted to get your take on which of these guys was going to be the best guy. So let me tell you who I've got and make their a short pitch for them, and you can tell me which one you think would be the best.
Sounds good.
So Kirk Heinrich, he played 38 minutes last game. It was an overtime game. And he only had 13 DraftKings points, but he played that much because Jimmy Butler was out. He's playing the Lakers on Thursday night, who we know struggle against point guards, and he's listed for only $3,000. Nick Kalathis is also filling in for an injured Mike Conley. And this is obviously if Conley is still out, but in last game, in 27 minutes, he had 27 DraftKings points. Langston Galloway... Oh, sorry. Kalathis is listed for $3,200. Langston Galloway is listed for $4,300. He's played 30 minutes at least in his last five games. And in four of those games, in the four previous tonight, he'd averaged 29 DraftKings points. And then tonight he had 18 points, real NBA points, four rebounds, four assists, and three steals. So probably pushed his average over 30. And then Derrick Rose, in his last six games, has averaged 35 DraftKings points, and he too is playing the Lakers. And he is listed for $7,600. So which of those four would you be the most interested in using at your point guard spot?
Did you say Galloway was
$4,800?
$4,300.
Oh, wow. So Heinrich at $3,000, Kalathis at $3,200, Galloway at $4,300, or Rose at $7,600.
I mean, I would go Galloway or Rose, one of those two. I wouldn't even look at Kalathis and Heinrich.
What's your reasoning there?
Kalathis, he didn't actually start, did he? I'm pretty sure Beno Udra got the fill-in with Conley out for the last game. I think Kalathis just played better in the game off the bench. So from that perspective, if he's coming off the bench, I don't want to take the risk on him because in the last game, Conley was dressed. He just didn't play.
Right.
So Conley was available. They just didn't use him. And he was kind of like just there in case of emergency. So, yeah. So I'd go Galloway or Rose because really all you're choosing there is do you want the higher ceiling of Rose or the... what seems to be a pretty darn high floor for Galloway at a much lower price.
Yeah, good point. All right, any other DraftKings guys you want to talk about? You want to get into this trade?
Let's get into the trade.
Okay. So I actually don't play in that podcast league. This is the ESPN Podcast Listener League. And apparently there was a somewhat questionable trade made on Wednesday night or Wednesday in the morning. You want to give us a little rundown of the trade?
Yeah. So one person in the ESPN Fantasy Basketball Podcast League, for the listeners league, one person traded Blake Griffin in exchange for Donatas Matagiounis and Evan Turner. And the issue is that my standard stance on trades in basketball leagues is that you do not overturn them. Like you don't veto a trade. If two consenting adults want to trade their fake basketball players to each other, let them make mistakes on their own. You know, it's like
Exactly.
Kid drives a bus off a cliff or something. You don't get to wipe that off the slate. You know, it happened. So, but what you try to think about sometimes is there a competitive balance issue? Was somebody taken advantage of? Is this somebody's first year in the league? Yada, yada, yada. So I just wanted to open it up to discussion to the league because it is, in my mind, a very bad trade to the point that I don't want somebody to get completely boned for the rest of the season because they like accidentally clicked to make the trade and I don't want to give them that out really. I'm pretty sure they made the decision well aware of what they were doing. I also don't want my own perception of two players to affect somebody else with what they're trying to attempt with their team. Like I see the potential of what Donatas Matagiounis and Evan Turner could offer, but realistically, you're gonna need.
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky because I mean you've probably been in situations like that. I know I have in fantasy leagues where a trade was even halted, and then it turns out that it was actually a good trade, and the person who wanted those players would have benefited it. And that's particularly possible in fantasy basketball where you can target specific categories. Now it's hard. I mean, it's really hard without knowing what's going on in the league to justify. Blake Griffin is probably a first round talent in a 16 team league. And those two guys are probably people that the other team were able to pick up off the waiver wire. So from just a value standpoint, it doesn't seem fair based on what we know now. But, we're speculating on the future a little bit. So I think everybody who ever does a veto has to keep that in mind. Like, you really don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Okay, but the thing is, like, Matagiounis, 11-6 for the season. Like, that's what he's averaging. And then he's averaging 10.5 and 6.5 for the last five games. Terrence Jones just returned. Dwight Howard's sitting out. Like,
yeah, it certainly doesn't seem like a fair trade.
And Evan Turner, he's known as being a guy who he doesn't help you in some of the places where you expect help from a point guard type of player. He doesn't help you in steals. He doesn't really help you in three-pointers much. There's a limitation to his value. I mean, Evan Turner's essentially a crappier Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but my point is, I mean, we kind of think we know who these players are, and we're probably right, but there's a chance. I mean, look, we don't know what the future is going to hold. So
I don't know.
There's that aspect of it. The other aspect is, there's no way to veto who somebody drafts, which is probably the biggest way that you build your roster. There's also no way to veto how somebody adds or drops a player. And so, I mean, kind of to your point about we really want to run somebody else's fake basketball team. Like that's the only aspect of it that we have the potential to do that with. Like if this person made a bad draft decision, that wasn't ever vetoed. If they made a bad pickup, that's not going to be vetoed. And so it seems kind of inconsistent to do it in trades, in my opinion.
People might say that this shouldn't matter, but the person who traded away Blake Griffin is at the bottom of the standings. And the person who received Blake Griffin is in the middle of the standings, like still fighting for a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me want to veto it more.
Sure.
Because
the other question I would have is, do those people know each other or sort of like collusion going on?
Right. And that's the other thing, because it's not like I know anybody in the league. Now, with that said, one of the guys that was involved in the trade definitely has conversations with me on Twitter. Very cool guy. So I would feel bad taking, you know, afflicting his team or affecting his team in some way that he doesn't want me to.
Yeah.
So it's tough, but realistically,
what is the veto league? What is the veto rule in that league? Like, how is it set?
It's just to the commissioner.
Oh, okay.
Because I knew since I'm running it that I wouldn't veto anything.
Right.
But I'm sorry, man.
Here's a solution that I've come up with in some of our leagues. When we've had a questionable trade come up, we have a veto vote. But if the trade gets vetoed, then if both teams can make a case how they, a logical case, it doesn't have to be a correct case, but just a logical case for why they think the trade will help their team, then the trade gets pushed through. So that's an option.
Okay. Now here's the thing. The person who traded away Blake Griffin made a comment. Cause I kind of opened it up. I said, hey, look, I'm going to take arguments from people. And here was the argument that was given from the person who traded Blake Griffin away. What's with this league and Blake Griffin? Laugh out loud. No one wants him on their team, but it's a big issue whenever he's moved, which has been 3 times already. I don't know if it's overturned, or I don't care if it's overturned, but I don't want him. I'll take any 2 players that can help me from last place and waiver wire. And the waiver wire is dry as a scorpion's butt. Pretty awesome.
See, and from that perspective, like, okay, I don't agree with how that person's running their fantasy team, and maybe,
right, but if
that could be part of the reason, but they have a logic of how they want to run their fantasy team, and somebody used that to their advantage and made their fantasy team better. So from that perspective, I don't think it's a good trade, but I don't have a problem with the trade going through.
And because of that statement, there's no way I'm going to consider vetoing it.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's the game right there. Now, somebody did tweet at me earlier today, and they were asking if I would consider trading away James Harden for a package of Greg Monroe. I'm pulling this up because I don't want to. I'm so unprofessional. It's ridiculous. But it was Greg Monroe and a couple other players, and my initial reaction was just like, no, not having any of it. I'm almost better than I am. Okay, here it is. Harden for Greg Monroe, Dirk Nowitzki, and Darren Collison. It's a 14-team league.
So what are you going to do?
I'm not trading James Harden for those 3 players because I have to drop 2 players.
Yep.
So when you're evaluating trades, and now you tell me if you do it differently, but essentially I'm looking at, it's one thing if you can evaluate it and you can say, all right, I'm going to get, you know, I got James Harden. And if I have James Harden for 4 games or for 3 games, then it's going to mean this many stats. If I have this other guy for 4 games, who's just a little bit worse than James Harden in a couple categories, but in the 4 games, he's more likely to be better than James Harden. I'm going to want the guy with 4 games. So you can make easy correlation stuff like that. But, and it's kind of the same idea, is what's the total that you're giving up to get what you're getting? So like with giving away James Harden, what he's going to give you in 1 game, you're not even going to get sometimes from the combination of Darren Collison and Greg Monroe, or Darren Collison and Dirk. Because Harden can give you, you know, 8 3-pointers in a game. He gives you a blocked shot a game. He gives you 2 steals a game. He gives you 6 assists a game, if not more. 26 point a game. Like, Greg Monroe is once in a blue moon a 26-point guy. Same for Dirk Nowitzki right now. James Harden averages that crap every night. you better be getting a top 10 player back in addition to like a top 20 player and then a top 25 player if you're trading James Harden, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I especially think if you're an active player, then you want to avoid those type of trades because what you don't want to, and you're going to be able to pick up people off the waiver wire or you have already. And so you're probably already dealing with situations where you've got middling type players who shouldn't be on the waiver wire on your bench and you're trying to get them in. And so what you don't want is two more of those players and one less superstar. You want to consolidate your talent rather than spread it around your roster.
Yeah, if anything, I would want to go out and trade two of my Monroe and Exactly. Dirk guys for a better guy and then go pick up somebody off the waiver wire.
Exactly. So. If you're active and if you're on the waiver wire, I almost think you never want to make a 3-for-1 trade.
Yeah, the only way that works.
Regardless of who the players are.
But making those trades are fun. Now the way those trades work out is if you're playing in a league with a keeper league, you know, so you can, like years ago when Chris Bosh was at like, you know, a super high level still playing in Toronto, I flipped a seasoned Chris Bosh for like a second year Kevin Durant because you didn't know exactly what Durant was going to be at the time. Or it's fun if you play in a keeper league where you've got contracts because then right. if somebody's on an expiring deal, their value might be really great to a team who's in competition, but has zero value to a team at the bottom of the rankings. So everybody at the top of the rankings trades away all their A contracts, and then or you know their first year, second year contracts, and then the third year when it's expiring, those all get sent to like the teams that are competing. It just makes it fun because you get crazy trades. Like I traded away Anthony Davis for Yusuf Nurkic because Anthony Davis was an expiring deal. And Yusuf Nurkic is going to be $3 for the next 3 years for me. So yeah, stuff like that's really fun. Oh, biscuits. I don't have anything else to talk about. Do we have
I don't either. No. Okay. All right. I guess that's it for us.
All right.
Let's see. I closed out of the... Very professional here. Go ahead. Can you close?
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by DraftKings.com, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code Kyle when making your first deposit on DraftKings to receive a free contest entry today. I am Kyle McEwen. You can find me on Twitter at RotoWireKyleNBA. And this is
Mark Roberts. And you can find me on Twitter at Mark F. Roberts. And Mark is the C, just like Mark Stein.
I like where this is going. All right, we love you guys. Have a great day. And we really do love you, okay? So if it's having a little bit of a rough day, I want you to feel a hug from me right now. Reach around, grab your shoulders, let it soak in. You got someone who loves you, okay? Take care. Have a good one.
Bye.
Keep pulling the string, find the end. The truth is to ascend before the doom of us all. There is no spoon, only you bin. The matrix is deception, tastes like chemical weapons. Who can live through a disaster only to be given contraceptives? Degraded projects, cut it into sections. No correct answers, more incorrect questions. Where are you taking me but in the wrong direction? AIDS, abortion, sexual affections, common misconceptions. Drug-free school zones explain all the aggression. Mislabeling oppression, Sandy Hook healthcare. Don't look at Tower 7, you can get arrested and sequestered for second guessing. How this building going in 60 seconds level. Terrorists are now foreign and domestic, all devils. Eisenhower warned us, it's pathetic. We let the suits have the power. Crooks are out to get you, lest you bow or be devoured like a coward. Corporations, politics behind the truth, more lies. Roosevelt, Rockefeller, Rothschild, see the time. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. Corporations, politics behind the truth, more lies. Roosevelt, Rockefeller, Rothschild, see the time. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. Texas citizens to death, skulls line the eagle's crest, pulling me up and out of my rest to pay imagined debt. Have the little girls scared, thinking currency is sex. Oppressed to the point they see the cuffs as fly bracelets. Face it,
We stuck up in the matrix, and all that we imagine's real. Let's take it back to basics. Put yourself in ill kicks, leaning back in spaceships. Twisted like the cushions, grounded, burning up the pages. Flyer than the paper, bearing names that's rocking stages. Higher than the height achieved by stepping on our faces. Pious for the cases, cracked to elevate our being. Dire is the future for the wasteful and misleading. Spires placed in fertile dirt remind us of our bleeding. Liars seek distractions that will keep us calm and sleeping. Achieving stable leadership, not paid off by our lobbyists. Turning tricks in Oval Offices, better get off the dick. Corporations, politics, behind the truth, more lies. Roosevelt, Rockefeller, Rothschild, see the time. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. Corporations, politics, behind the truth, more lies. Roosevelt, Rockefeller, Rothschild, see the time. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. Can't forget about those diamonds, we dying just to bling. Why you think we rhyming, we entertaining? Crooked beings for white men on colored paper to purchase material things. They all in clubs, it seems, going corporate is their dream. By any dirty means, cut corners, hearts and spleens. If you ain't on their team or all about their cream, then yours are gonna. Kennedy, Lincoln, X, or King, or Alex Order. This a deathly new world order, they poison everything and wanna charge you for your water. They didn't come to barter, why bother? Count up all these sleep sheep, lead them to the slaughter. Sacrifice you on the altar, bring out the Mayan sun. If we don't alter where we're going, vanity is done. If you don't give a damn, then you also burn a bridge. If you don't feed and teach a mother, you also kill her kids. How are you a man? Don't know what the definition is. There's more to life than greed when we're dying just to live. It's corporations, politics, behind the truth, more lies. Roosevelt, Rockefeller, Rothschild, see the time. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. The crooks all in suits, club spades of hearts. Corporations, politics, behind the truth, more lies. Roosevelt, Rockefeller, Rothschild, see the time. The crooks all in suits, club